Welcome to Beyond the Sales Floor. I'm your host, Morgan J. Ingram, and what we're going to be doing is unveiling and unpacking sales playbooks from enterprise sales leaders. All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Sales Floor. This is where we talk to sales leaders about what they're doing in the trenches, tactics and strategies to go be successful. So today we have Dan, and Dan, tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll dive into the interview here.
Awesome. Yeah. Appreciate the opportunity, Maureen. Great to be with you. Dan Russo, head up our sales development team globally here at Sitecore. We're a market leader in web content management, digital marketing software. And we're here to generate a whole bunch of pipeline for our sales team to go and deliver on our bookings targets.
Good stuff. So this is the first thing that we always ask people on this show, which is, what's an experiment you're running right now that you're super excited about?
Yeah, it's, I wouldn't say it's as much as an experiment as it is us kind of diving into the deep end on trying something new. And I don't think it's super revolutionary, but for us, it's a bit of a departure from our norm, which is really trying to align a majority, if not all of our efforts to the digital buying journey. Really trying to understand that prospects and customers are trying to do a lot of the education and self-qualification themselves before they ever want to talk to a vendor. So really for us, it's important to understand what that journey looks like, enable that journey, and then insert ourselves into the conversation at the appropriate time so that we can, you know, help further their journey down the funnel and obviously, you know, capture qualified leads and opportunities where they present themselves.
And so that kind of leads into my next question there is, how is the sales team structured that you have? Are you running a pod model? You're running a one-to-one-to-one? What are you doing over there?
So we're split into both field and commercial segments on our field, on our sales side. So we're aligning to that. Ratio is not exactly where we want them to be. I think like a lot of companies out there, we've kind of had to relook at our ratios of SDRs to AEs and get a little bit creative there. So we're regionally aligned and then building our SDR teams to, as best we can, support the number of bag carrying reps in each region. I think, you know, we've experimented with pod models. We've experimented with, you know, really trying to have like be strict with that 2-to-1, 3-to-1 ratio. But just, you know, aside of the times and the market that we're in right now, we had to get a little bit creative with how we align within the regions and how we align within, you know, different language speaking opportunities in EMEA and APJ and make the most out of the resources that we've had, that we have, and, you know, try and execute on this vision of doing more with less by kind of relating back to some of the things I spoke about earlier with the alignment to the digital buying journey.
When you think of the buyer's journey, you think about more with less, there's obviously different channels that you're prospecting with to get conversions. Like, what are you finding right now that's really working? Is it direct mail? Is it, I don't know, like sending pigeons? I don't know. What do you even do nowadays? Like, how do you even convert opportunities?
I think right now what the interesting thing is, there's not just one way to do it, right? You know, back in the day, 100 years ago when I was an SDR, it was, you know, the phone was your ATM. Every time you pick up the phone, you're going to the bank, and that's what your way to success. Kind of evolved a little bit more towards email and getting a lot of success through email, and then LinkedIn for a while was the big thing. I think for me, we've realized that you have to be doing a decent job at every channel, right? You have to be hitting people where they are on social. You have to be hyper-personalized and even more so than personalized, hyper-relevant to the journey that somebody's on in your emails, and you have to use the phone call as a breadcrumb to lead them back to you and to make sure that you're getting mind share with them as often as you can. So maybe a little bit of a cop-out answer that there's not one, you know, channel that's like the cream that's rising to the top, but yeah. I think it really is being a champion of all of those, and as an SDR, kind of like having that cockpit to be able to manage all of those different channels kind of in unison with one another.
Yeah,
which, you know, makes a job that we all know is really difficult, maybe even a little bit more so. But I think we're using some analytics and some data to kind of help them understand where to place their bets.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's a really good call out here that it is different. There are different channels you need to go into. There needs to be multi-prospecting. You need to be looking at that across the board. Do you feel like, though, that based on what you've seen pros for your team, you're like, okay, we're doubling down here, and you're like, okay, I feel like we should actually invest more time here? Or what is the data telling you? Or is it actually just straight up all even? Like, hey, across the board, this is actually pretty even distribution of like the channel that for personally your team is doing better at.
Well, it's a really weird inflection point right now come February, right? When a lot of this stuff is going to start happening with Google email domains and Yahoo email domains and getting a little bit more intelligent about how we do email. So I think that is going to kind of cause everybody to take a little bit of a step back and evaluate their email best practices, how they email, what they're going to say, when they're going to say it. And I don't think we'll be any different there. I think it will cause a little bit more of a shift back to the phone calls. And I think the biggest thing is social is going to become even more important. You know, I know the LinkedIn trend was really, really hot for a little while and it's kind of dipped a little bit. Yeah. But I think you're going to see people kind of flock back to that channel. And I think, the companies that can cut through the noise, be relevant, and kind of couple that phone social outreach with the intent signals that a company is showing are the ones that are going to win.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. And you look at your team as a whole, right? You are obviously trying to find out how to bring in the best people, right? And make sure that you can have these conversations. Could you provide an overview of like, how do you look at your hiring process? What do you look for? What are things or questions you ask to like disqualify people to be like, you don't need to be on my team. What are you doing here?
Yeah, it's, as an SDR leader, that is a huge part of the job, right? Is you're always looking for the future talent of your team. It's like we're really fortunate to have a very good pipeline of people coming through the team and getting promoted up into other roles. So we're kind of constantly looking for new talent, and we're looking in a lot of different places, right? We're looking for recent college graduates. We're looking for people that are looking to make career changes from retail, hospitality. We've had a lot of success with. But I think at the end of the day, we're looking for the kind of questions that we're asking people is to draw out their tenacity, their willingness to learn, to be a team player, communicate effectively. And one of the biggest things that I'm looking for is people that are kind of naturally curious, people that want to understand how to be successful, why they're going to be successful, and not just things that are relevant to their job, but they're curious about how do our products work? What are we doing in marketing and how is that going to impact me? Right. And they kind of want to have their hands in a lot of different cookie jars and they're asking a lot of questions. I think those are the people that tend to, overcome a lot of the challenges in this job because you can get beaten down and you can get, aggravated. But if you're naturally curious and you're willing to kind of continuously improve yourself and your knowledge, it can overcome some of those challenges. So those are kind of some of the big things that we're looking for. The other thing I'd say is I don't think we're being overly complex in our hiring process. Right? Okay. We're working really closely with our talent acquisition team to identify candidates on a pretty regular basis, talking to TA, the hiring manager, maybe director level. We can get a pretty good feel for people and move them through the process pretty quickly. But then leveraging other people on the team, be it an individual contributor or sales leader from another team, for those individuals that we're kind of like stuck in the middle on and can't make a decision.
Yeah, no. And well, that actually makes a lot of sense in terms of keeping it simple. I feel like there's interviews I've heard today, and maybe you have, where like they go through 8 interviews just to just to go be an SDR. And I'm like, that seems like a lot.
I think there's a time and a place for that, but yeah, I always say with an SDR, right, wrong, or indifferent, like generally there's not an extensive work history. You're judging them based on their ability to have a conversation with you, to show you that they have some of the key qualities. And a lot of that is on you as the interviewer to make sure you're asking the right questions to give them the opportunity to represent themselves well, or not. And then, kind of using that as your barometer to figure out, is this a person that I think I can come in and make successful or help be successful, because this isn't a role, generally speaking, where you're going to have somebody that's going to come in and they're going to know everything there is to know about the role. There's an onus on us as the company, as the leaders on this team, to give them the tools to make them successful. So if they have some of those qualities I mentioned earlier, that job becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, 100%. And then it kind of goes into making the job easier. In 30 days, what are you doing and what are you providing to the rep to make their job easier so they can be successful?
Yeah, so I always say in the first 30 days, we're looking to give people the skills to know just enough to be dangerous. Right?
Yep.
We don't expect them to be experts in any area, but if we can teach them, you know, enough about our process and how we, you know, move leads through our funnel, if we can give them a little bit of baseline understanding about our products, the value that they bring to our prospects and customers, get them familiar with some case studies and customer stories, and then, you know, have them spend them time with their managers and their peers on, you know, how to make a phone call, how to send a good email, how to, you know, have good CRM hygiene. There's little things you can do in the first 30 days that are going to build that foundation so that when they launch into the next 60, 90 days, they're off to a little bit of a head start.
Yeah. And then what is the biggest coaching lesson that you coach your managers on so they can be actionable in essentially helping their reps move in the right direction?
Yeah, I think with the managers, it's about helping them understand that they have a community around them and they don't have to do everything themselves, right? I've seen a lot of managers that kind of want to own the entire onboarding, training, enablement process themselves. And I understand that, but I want our managers to understand that, you know, they have other SDR leaders that they can, rely on. They have an individual contributor on their team that they can rely on. And, you know, I don't want to say completely offload some of their responsibilities, but it feels good if you're an SDR that's been in the role for a little while, you're doing a good job, and you're asked to be part of the process in making your overall team more successful. So that's something we really encourage our leaders to do here is leverage the overall community that we have within the company, especially within the walls of our team. And I think it helps, you know, I was reading a stat today about the percent of SDRs that feel like they're making an impact in their role. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you can power the managers to give the individual contributors some sense of responsibility in raising the tide of the entire team, it helps them feel more empowered and it helps them feel like they're bigger than something that's just themselves.
And what are some things that you even coach like reps on? You know, you're a little bit farther removed from that, but you're still probably talking to the reps on a daily basis. You said you're doing a couple things there. How do you coach a rep out of a rut?
To me, one of the biggest things that I see happening with people that are in a rut is they've gotten too far away from the basics. Right. And when you come in as an SDR, I think this is probably similar for most companies, you're given some guardrails to operate in between, right? Make your, you know, however many phone calls it is that you need to make, 40, 50, 60 calls, send your 40, 50, 60 emails, you know, have this many social touches in a month, whatever those KPIs are. And you see people adhere to that for the first, I don't know, 60, 90, 120 days they're in the role. And they have success. And then they slowly start to say, you know, I'm having more success in email than I am in phones. And they start to lean a little heavily towards email or lose a little bit of personalization in those emails. And you kind of sit there and you diagnose, well, you know, been successful in the past.
Right.
What's got you in this rut? And oftentimes when you come back to the basics, you'll see that, you know, they're not necessarily following those basics like they should, but kind of recentering what they're doing every day, week, month, quarter is going to help them get back on track. We've put some mechanisms in place to kind of help them do some self-assessment. So we have them fill out like worksheets, like they're telling us what their activity level looks like, their conversion rates look like. So we can hopefully shine a, they can kind of
Right.
self-identify and shine a spotlight on some of those areas that they're a little bit deficient in, and they can fill those in moving forward and kind of get themselves back on track.
And this kind of leads into my next question around like efficiency and productivity. How do you keep reps productive? Is it, hey, look, you got to follow this calendar that we have, and like you better do this 30-minute like cold calling slot? Is it everyone has autonomy of what they do? How do you make sure that people stay consistent in what their actions are?
I've been talking about this quite a bit. It's adhering to kind of our four buckets of priorities, right? There, one of the things I've
Okay.
learned as an SDR leader is there's a lot of stuff that you can be doing in this job. You're pulled in a million different
Yeah.
directions. For us, it's continuous focus on what are the three or four things that we need to focus on every day that are going to make us successful, right? And for us, it's MQLs, right? They're top of the heap. We're spending money to generate them. Marketing is on top of us to make sure that we're the engine that keeps them flowing through the funnel. From a customer experience perspective, these are individuals that have interacted with our brand somewhere along the line. Those have to be top of the heap. Next for us is our on-site chat tool. I don't know if we're giving free shout-outs here, but we use Qualified normally. That's a huge win for us. We have the ability to interact with people while they're live on our website, be it them establishing a conversation with us or us trying to reach out to them in real time when they're on our website. Next is the intent data, right? I talked a lot about the digital buying journey. We're overlaying that with some other on-site signals that we have to really make sure that we're heat mapping who's showing the most intent, who is closest to decision and purchase stage. I need to make sure that I'm prioritizing those accounts. And then finally is working jointly with our AEs to make sure that we're executing some level of outbound into their target accounts. And ideally, if we're doing ABM right and we're focusing our marketing efforts on the right types of accounts, like the accounts that the AEs care about, we're gonna catch a lot of them in those first three priorities anyways. So that's kind of how we, that is not kind of, that is how we make sure that SDRs are prioritizing their day. So when they sit down at their desk, if they don't know what to do, they can refer back to those four priorities and get themselves back on track that way.
No, I think that's excellent. I like the four buckets of what people can dive into. And as we wrap here and you get a lot of information, what would you say is like the number one focus that a sales development leader should have going into 2024, besides Google and Yahoo changing up the game on us? Besides that, I think the people have heard and seen a lot of posts on that already.
I think it's being empathetic, right? Like it's under to me, like one of the biggest, I think, maybe reasons I've been able to be successful is knowing that there's people sitting in that seat as SDRs and it's oftentimes their first job. It's a really difficult job. And you have to understand that they're going to have ebbs and flows. They're going to have ups, downs. And I think that is those ups and downs are magnified in the market that we're in right now. So you got to really celebrate the successes and make sure that people understand they're being successful and that's being celebrated. And when they're not being successful, really dig in with them, be it yourself, your managers, their peers, dig in with them to help them understand where they need to right the ship. Make sure they understand it's not the end of the world. And you're there to help them and really be empathetic towards the situations that they find themselves in. I think that's good for culture, it's good for morale, and it's ultimately really good for production.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff. Well, Dan, thanks so much for hopping on. We appreciate you. Hopefully, everyone listening in, you got some insights, some things that you can do that's exciting now to move forward. And we'll see you all on the next episode.